It's incredible the wisdom I passed on to y'all.
I know, right?
Dude, a bad woman can make you miserable. Oh, my God. Dude, I mean, I can sit here and think, I mean, some of the times, holy shit, dude. I mean, I was depressed. I look back now and say, holy shit, I was depressed. I mean, I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just curl up into a ball.
That's because they have the power.
Yeah. I mean, holy shit. The fuck is that about?
That's the way we're wired. Again, except Matt.
Right.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Doom Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk today. All right, as we get nearer to the Super Bowl, the NFL's coaching carousel continues, and how shocking it is that Sean Payton's name is no longer being used by the clickbait bitches. We got Damon back this week, so we're going to hear what he has to say about Greg McMahon, Bill Johnson, and Joe Vitt. And we've got a few playoff games to cover. Yeah, the Falcons are still in it, but maybe Green Bay can put them away with a 51-yard field goal. Anyway, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Also, zero. Seeing as how I just got home from work about a half hour ago.
Yeah,
Didn't have time to drink anything, and with ball stuff, I got parties every weekend, and just...
What's wrong with your ball?
Exactly.
That's right, Jason is a Duke in the Dumont Ball.
That is correct. I know we did talk about it last week.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So it just means there's parties every weekend.
Is that why you wanted my address a couple of months ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aha.
Did the invitations go out?
Yeah, you should have
got mine.
I got a couple of things. I don't know that one was from you.
It's probably got fancy handwriting on the envelope.
Okay, I gotta go check.
It's about on the ball.
Yeah, well, no, we get something every year, obviously, because my dad was king, you know.
Yeah.
A past king. So, and he's been dead.
As was mine.
Ah, we three kings' sons.
And he's been dead for 10 years, and they still send him stuff. And
it's okay. You might have two.
I got the one that lists, you know, who everybody was.
Okay, that's it. They don't tell you who it's from. They just put everybody's name on it.
Oh, okay.
But we have to provide a list.
Okay, wait a second. But is that my
invitation? Yes,
that's your invitation to buy tickets. You still have to buy tickets.
Right.
That's
so
not your ticket.
Okay. Oh, okay. You didn't say.
You probably have to go to like formal connections.
But it was addressed to Joe Lozano, not.
Oh, then that's not. Then that wasn't Damon your Lozano. Invitation. Then you should have an invitation as well.
Okay, I got him.
You gonna get your own this year, Damon?
Well, anyway, is it formal connection still?
Formal connection, or you can even buy your ticket online.
Wow, fancy. Look at it.
Yeah, they've upgraded. So, Jeff, you can buy your ticket.
Oh, good. I was thinking about that. I'm like, shit, how the hell am I going to get a ticket?
Just like that.
Yeah, I haven't been to the ball in years.
Me neither.
So that'll be fun.
It will be fun.
So the Jason's a Duke in the Mardi Gras ball. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Thank you. All right, Jeff. Not pissed off.
He's awake.
I'm awake, Jeff. How are you?
We're recording the show at 6 o'clock in the.
We had to record right before Damon's bedtime.
So he wouldn't go take a nap. Yeah, right. Before he could fall asleep.
We're actually crossing into Damon's bedtime. It's like my grandparents; they go to bed after Wheel of Fortune.
It gets dark so early now.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some playoff game recaps.
We'll be right back.
first game of the weekend was the what was it? The New England
Shitlanta.
Shitlanta.
Right. Yeah, Shitlanta. Yeah. Unfortunately, it went kind of how I thought it was going to go. Seattle's just not that as good a team on the road. Plus, without Earl Thomas.
Did you hear the bullshit excuse that Richard Sherman's giving for his play for this year? Was he played the second half of the year injured? Suddenly,
very proud of him.
You know, I hate when shit that comes out and they're.
What injury did he have? I know I had.
He said he was playing through a MCL.
Significant, he said. Significant MCL in the second half.
He was getting torched by Julio this week.
Right, that's not your injury, buddy. That's just Julio Jones.
Right, that's just you getting a little older, and you don't have all your boys in the backfield to help you out, and with Thomas being out.
Yeah. Well, you know what really hurt? I mean, if you watch the game, I don't know if you'll watch it or not. Seattle had momentum. It was looking good. They were up 10-7. They get a kick return, bring it all the way down to the 8. And because of a holding call away from the play, totally changed field position with an 85-yard penalty. Instead of having on Atlanta's 8, they had it went back to their 7 or somewhere around there. And they kind of fell apart after that. They took a safety. They took the safety on that, right. So instead of,
right tackle stepped on Wilson's foot and just fell back in the end zone.
Right. Yeah. Instead of potentially going up 17-7, it became 9-10, and the fucking wheel fell off. And not that I'm a big Seattle fan, but I just
hate Atlanta.
So I don't know Atlanta. Look, Atlanta.
Well, if there's got to be a team that can put them away, it would be Green Bay.
Look, those teams have met earlier in the year, in the Georgia Dome, and Atlanta won 33-32 or 32-31. So. But we'll talk about
that. Was that also earlier in the year when Green Bay was not as good as they are now? They're peaking now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Plus, it will set up a final game in the Georgia Dome where the Falcons can have some huge heartbreaking collapse.
Right, at the NFC Championship.
Right. Just like they did to San Francisco a couple years ago.
Yeah, that'd be great. I might have to watch that game at Buffalo Wild Wings like I did the San Francisco Falcons game.
So at least we can take comfort in knowing hopefully that's coming.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Let's stay in the NFC then and talk about the Green Bay-Dallas game, because that was the game of the week.
And kind of figured it would be. That was it wasn't the closest spread, but it was the game I think everybody was looking forward to. And it was wild. I mean, for a while, Green Bay was leading the whole game, and you're just thinking, okay, if Green Bay goes up, how is Dallas going to be able to come back, considering they've been more of the ball control running team throughout the year? But it was amazing that Dak.
I'm going to say I don't like Dallas. That's on record. It's not a surprise.
But I don't think anybody, none of us like Dallas.
I know, but I'm going to compliment Dak Prescott. I enjoyed watching him play. I mean, he looks effortless in the way that he moves and throws the ball. At least he did that day.
I think he's the first rookie quarterback to throw 3 touchdowns in his first playoff game ever in the history of the league.
Good for him. But yeah, I mean, hey, you know what? Respect to him.
Well, I still don't like their team, but yeah, they played well enough to win. Just couldn't.
Well, just didn't. I mean, whatever. Out of time. Story of the Saints this year.
Just crazy ending, crazy fourth quarter to the game.
Dude, crazy. I mean, there was 3 50-yard field goals, 50-plus yard field goals in under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And each team. Each team getting those deep passes to get down the field and good clock management.
Well, some people are pointing out that, when the Cowboys spiked the ball on that first down, they think, well, why did you do that? I mean, they left 30 seconds at the end, but it gets to a point where, look, when you got 30 seconds left, just don't let them move down the field and get a field goal.
Right.
That's the real thing, right? Everybody spiked the ball at that time. Everybody spikes it. Yeah, you'd
say, they only had the game and be like,
well, if you wouldn't have spiked it, then you wouldn't have had the time to do it. Well, yeah. If they'd have scored a touchdown in the first quarter when they could have, then we wouldn't be in the situation either.
Well, not only did they spike it and save time, they also cost them a down, so they only had 2 down. Maybe they could have got 7. Yeah.
Maybe. But
That great catch by what's his name?
Jared Cook.
Was it Jared Cook? Yeah. With his toes.
I mean, incredible.
That was insane.
Absolutely incredible. And look, it's crazy to think, I mean, how much Damon, you bashed Aaron Rodgers earlier this season, but he had been on fucking fire.
Look, it wasn't just me, it was, you know, everybody was wondering what was wrong, you know, was wrong with him. We remember the press conference with Mike McCarthy where he had to come out and defend himself, saying, look, I'm a good coach in this league, you know. And ever since that controversy, they seem, you know, they've circled the wagons and have been spectacular.
I mean, they're just rolling right now. He's playing so well.
Yeah, and look, I hope they go to the hope they make it to the Super Bowl. They are my favorite team in the NFC right now.
The only one, the only one left, right?
Right. Because I sure don't want to see Shitlanta get there.
Definitely not. I know Jordy Nelson. He hurt his ribs in the first week. Didn't play this week. I can't imagine he's going to be back for them next week, but they've still got plenty of weapons, and they got the way they're playing, they got Rodgers, and it would just be so nice to have him crush all the fans in the circus tent.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the AFC and talk about the early game. It was New England.
That was a wild game because in the first half, you know, we were watching for a while in the first half, and the Texans kept getting turnovers. And it's like the Texans, it seemed like they were dominating the first half, and yet they were still down. They were still losing because the Patriots scored those first couple of touchdowns early in the game. So it was just like, it seemed like it was just going to be a matter of time. But I mean, Houston was with them. Yeah.
On the other
Houston was with them. You know, it's well, the turnovers. The Pats kind of looked out of sync. But
yeah, the Pats definitely had a very un-Patriots game with so many turnovers. Brady had two interceptions all year,
and at the end they also had a fumble on a kickoff return.
Right,
you say that, but they overcame. I mean, they still only allowed 16 points.
Well, they also had the benefit of going up against Brock Osweiler.
Well,
Brock Osweiler sucks.
Still scored 34 points again on that defense.
They did. They covered the spread.
It's going to be a fun AFC championship game, I'll tell you.
You know, of course, the stat that was out today, like 14 of the last 16 AFC quarterbacks in the Super Bowl have been either Brady, Roethlisberger, or Manning.
Jeez.
How many?
14 out of 16 has been one of those three.
Who were the outliers? Who were the two outliers?
Flacco.
Wow.
Was one.
And?
Ooh.
They must have lost because we don't even remember.
Would it be Gannon? You have to go back to the Raiders.
Yeah, I guess shit. Yeah, because you would go back to 2001. That was Brady's first.
So, right.
Yeah, Rich Gannon. Wow.
Guys. So, and we talk about parody.
Right. Right. So basically, I mean, so it's been the Steelers, the Patriots,
Colts.
And the Colts.
And the Broncos.
Right.
And Broncos, right. Yeah, right. He made two with them.
But it's just this is going to be the Patriots' 11th AFC title game appearance.
It's their sixth in a row.
I mean, that is. Now, look, they obviously they're a great organization, great franchise. I don't know that this could be duplicated, but they have benefited from playing in a pretty shitty division this whole time.
Right. And I mean, and I'd accept that they get into the playoff.
Yeah, but they win out.
They still have to, you know.
Well, it's easy when you win your crappy division and you at least get one home game. At least you get a home game, and they've been really good
you
at home.
You got to win them. And, I mean, six in a row.
They do. Pretty impressive.
I mean, if I were going to model myself after a franchise, that would be it.
No shit.
All right, so to talk about the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game, which that one was closer than it. It kind of.
Oh, and it
felt close, but it was like Kansas City had a chance to win it. Were they on the 2 yard line at the?
Well, that was a 2 point conversion.
Yeah. Right. That's right. And that penalty, but we were going into overtime, huh?
I thought so. There was still probably a minute and a half left, so Pittsburgh could have gone down and kicked a field goal, but look, the case of that game, the Pittsburgh really dominated the game, but they couldn't score touchdowns. It was they kicked six field goals.
Yeah. Six field goals.
Reminds me of the time the Saints won on Morton Anderson. Was it five or six field goals that game? And I don't remember who we were playing, but
except it wasn't the playoffs.
No.
Right.
On the road. but other than that.
Right.
Other than that.
Right. In the NFL playoffs, team that were plus two in touchdowns, meaning that they scored two more touchdowns than their opponents, were 245-0.
Until
yesterday. Until last night.
Just goes to show you. Slow and steady wins the race.
I mean, I will take that all day long. If you tell me from here on out the Saints will score two more touchdowns than their opponents.
That's why I never put my money on the zeros in roulette.
But again, this is another home playoff loss for Kansas City, who hasn't won a home playoff game since '93.
Wow.
I feel bad for it. Kansas City was my favorite team to watch in the playoffs this year.
Because we went there?
A little bit of that. I mean, but more so, I've always been kind of, I don't want to say a fan of, you know how you, what I mean, but like I've always kind of.
You don't hate them.
Yeah. And I'd like to see Kansas City. It's the same reasons we wanted to go to the game. The history, it's a legacy team. It's in the fan base, and I don't know, just hadn't seen them win in a long time.
A good stadium environment. Yeah. Although, look, maybe this has come up and it's for your boy not giving back your Saints shirt after the game. That's what you get, motherfucker.
Take that. I got.
But I bet that was brutal because think about it. The game was supposed to be at noon, and they had to move it back because of the weather.
That I know, and it didn't.
And they showed there was ice on the seats. Somebody had to go walk around banging all the seats to knock all the ice off.
Oh.
I didn't say bang in the seats. I said banging the seats. But I think the other way would work too, right?
Sure.
Everybody back in the pile. You know
how in the Star Spangled Banner they're like the home of the and they all go Chiefs. That's all their climax right there.
That wasn't annoying. God bless them. They're good fans, but God bless
them.
But
you know, like you guys said, when you get to see a stadium on TV that you've been to before.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
It adds a little different element to it.
Yep, because you could kind of I knew what I was looking at, you know. Familiar territory.
And even I think I watched a video of people tailgating earlier in the day. It was like cold and rainy and kind of like in the same area where we were tailgating. It was like, oh yeah, I remember.
I remember waiting in the lines for those bathrooms.
Yeah.
That's where I tailgated.
Well, they on Twitter, I saw a picture. Apparently, they were so disappointed. There was a couple of people who left and left their grills. Left the barbecue grills.
Just as a sign of frustration?
I guess.
Forgot them in their anger.
I guess, you know, one or the other, but, you know, the Twitter people.
It's a sign of I don't give a shit about a $30 grill when we haven't won a home playoff game since 1993.
Right.
Well, I will say I did make ribs last night as, you know, my KC barbecue support. And they
How'd that work out for
us? Well, it worked out for me.
Worked out for you, yeah.
They had the burnt ends, though. Their burnt ends froze. Okay, let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And Damon, you weren't here last week to give your feedback on the firings. This was like the episode for you to be on, and you slept right through it.
So, you've been waiting years for this news.
I know, so I don't know if you've got a monologue prepared. Or it wouldn't even be a Damon rant. It'd be a Damon celebration.
No, almost, no doubt.
It's like a prepared statement.
Right. I mean, look.
Press conference.
McMahon and Vitt and Bill Johnson. I mean, wow. How many years have we been calling for their removal?
Hey, we'd have just taken one removed.
Right. I mean, look, the biggest surprise for me was Vitt because, you know, y'all probably talked about it last week and I might be, But, you know, he was Sean Payton's consigliere. He could have stayed on the team and just been assistant head coach and done whatever. So that's perplexing to me. Now they didn't tell me if y'all talked about it, but there were a couple reports that some of the partings were.
They said it was mutual.
Right. They said it was mutual.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure of Vitt's age, but, you know, maybe he's just planning on retiring. Maybe he's,
He has had he's already coached for 30 years. So,
right.
You know, he's had a long career.
Right.
He walked in the office. I'm tired, coach. I'm tired.
I need some Vicodin and I think I'm out.
Right. No one remembers that it was Joe Vitt. And again, he's 62. I mean, relatively young. That surprised me. But again, I am, I hate to say this, but not to be ugly to these men, but look, thank you for what y'all did in 2009 and bringing a Super Bowl here. But it was definitely time to go. Like you said, Jeff, we've been bitching about these people for years. And it was time to happen. So what this reminds me of, and we still have an off season to go. The firings are good, but it all depends on who you replace him with. That's going to be a very important part of this offseason. Now, I think the guy that we brought in last year, didn't he move up?
Well, Dennis Allen. Oh, you talking about O'Shea?
Yeah.
Oh, special teams, yeah. Supposedly the Saints are interested in a former 49ers special teams coach. Like, I think they might be interviewing him. I don't know if they plan to promote O'Day and bring in this other guy or hire this other guy and leave O'Day in. I mean, look, O'Day did a great job with Lutz. Yeah, didn't miss a single kick since he came
right.
on.
And that is kind of Sean Payton's method, right? You bring in the guy's replacement to tutor to be a specialist during the season, and then
right. That's a dick move. Hey, look, I got your replacement in here.
You ain't going nowhere yet either. Are you going to watch how he's going to do your job better?
Right. He's going to watch you and figure out what you're screwing up and then change it next year. But, I don't know much about O'Day except what you just mentioned about him helping.
But that's what they do with players, so maybe he's the same strategy, right? I mean, hey,
sure.
I'm going to bring another guy in. Keep your starting job or lose it. It's up to you.
Right, this is the fire under your ass, you know.
Right.
But anyway, so it's very, let's hope we get the right coaches in there. And
is there any names that you know, either of you, that you would want to plug in, say, like for a D-line or a linebackers?
I don't know, but it seems like you would think the hirings should come relatively soon before. I know there's only one more NFL job open, and looks like Kyle Shanahan's the favorite from San Francisco, but you don't want these guys to hire somebody else that you may be looking at. But I mean, sure. You don't know assistant coaches until they suck and you want them fired.
Right. They're like offensive linemen.
Right. Well, like, for example, where's Mike Singletary these days? Is he in Chicago?
Hold on. There they think.
Would you want him?
Not particularly.
As a linebacker's coach? I mean, what?
Yeah.
He was proven to be a pretty good defensive coach. He wasn't a great head coach, but he was a solid defensive coach.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean.
All I know is that I want somebody that can actually do the goddamn job and get and improve and develop our linebackers. I don't care who the fuck it is.
All right, so then you got it.
Yeah, and Mike Singletary is in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. As what, like a position coach or a...
He doesn't say. He just says defensive assistant.
Okay.
Now was that under Fisher?
He started last year, so if he's still there, who knows? You know, I'm not sure what they did.
They're bringing in Wade Phillips to run the D.
Right. That's somebody.
Yeah, they're bringing in Wade Phillips to run the D.
And I knew it wasn't going to happen. I mean, Allen obviously just had 1 year. Sean Payton wasn't going to cut bait, and then you have a situation where you have, three different coordinators in three different years. I mean, I understand that. I would have liked to got Phillips.
Right?
You look at it, and our best years.
Go ahead.
Like Greg Williams or not or whatever, you know, but our best years were with a strong defensive coordinator.
And you know, I texted y'all. Let's just jump right into NFL reach around here. I texted y'all when we were talking about Wade Phillips. What is it about him that it feels like he's a journeyman, but he really shouldn't be, right? Or does his message get old quick? Like he's the kind of guy who comes in, gets it going, but he's not a sustainer.
I wonder, he probably feels like a journeyman to you because he's been a head coach several times and he's been fired. He's been a terrible head coach.
Right.
He really hasn't won, but yet he'll go coordinate somewhere and he's great. You know, he works himself up to coordinator, and then he leaves his coordinating job to take a head job, and he gets fired.
Right.
Like, maybe that's it.
Right. I mean, you look at him, you know, his first defensive coordinator job was with the New Orleans Saints in 1981 under his father. A little nepotism there. Then he, you know, but he stayed here from 81 to 85, Philadelphia, 2 years, and then... Right, he was in Denver as a coordinator. Then, like Jason just said, he took the head coaching job in Denver.
Okay.
You know, we didn't do very well. Then he went to Buffalo and was a defensive coordinator. And then got the head coaching job. So, you know, I mean, you know,
that's
then,
what it
is.
Okay.
Right. So, and then, you know, he went to Atlanta as a defensive coordinator. And he was the interim head coach. So, and obviously, when, you know, he was on a lot of teams where, you know, where the coaches get fired and obviously
they take coordinators right, greenhouse kind of deal, yeah. Okay. Other changes that have been going on around here, the Jacksonville Jaguars hired Tom Coughlin to be their VP of football operations. And what are they keeping? Doug Marrone?
They signed
Doug.
He wasn't their head coach before. They hired him.
Well, he was the interim.
He was the offensive line coach, wasn't he? And then he moved up to interim. Then
they hired him as the head coach.
Right.
Right.
Let's see.
But, you know, you almost kind of forget because Coughlin was in New York for so while. For
he Coughlin started there.
Coached the Jaguars, when they were expansion team.
Mm-hmm. Then you got the Broncos. But I'm just reading it right now. After initial report indicated Vance Joseph, the Dolphins defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they had Vance Joseph, a guy, a Shaw graduate, local guy. But okay, the move seemed kind of surprising because they had a good defense, but their offense was suspect. So some people kind of scratched their heads. You figured they would go with an offensive.
Or you keep that identity because there's no...
Well, yeah. And I think they signed... I forget what...
Because you're losing Wade Phillips, too. I mean, you...
Yeah, maybe so. But and I thought they signed a pretty good offensive coordinator.
All right, then you got Sean McDermott in Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo had made the playoffs since 99. I'm sure it'll continue.
And then the Chargers just kind of one of these, what was Tuesday morning said, hey, by the way, Thursday, we're going to be L.A. Chargers.
And then Friday, we also hired this dude as a coach. They hired the guy who was the interim in Buffalo when Rex Ryan got fired.
Yeah. Weird, right? And then they come in and they're adjusting their logo 3 times in 1 day, basically because Twitter people are making fun of it. I'm sure that's not what they were doing, but that is kind of the narrative that was played out. Like they released the stupid LA, which basically was the Dodgers logo with the bolt
right.
on it.
Yeah.
And then people made fun of it. Like we nice creative team there you got. And then they changed it to, instead of it being the navy blue and white, it was powder blue and yellow. Oh, well, that looks a lot better. And then after that got made fun of, they added the word Los Angeles to it or something like that, or Chargers to it or something. I mean, who came up with that one?
Yeah, the whole situation's kind of bad. You kind of feel bad for the actual fans that are going to be losing their team. I don't know that it's kind of the business in the NFL. They get the taxpayers to pay for the stadiums that host 8 games a year and maybe a concert or two. And I don't blame them for voting it down. I mean, I'm sure there was some kind of compromise that could have been made. I just don't. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, they're going to L.A. and, like, L.A. doesn't give a fuck about another team. The one team that really should have moved to L.A. that I think people would care about is the Raiders, and they're going to Vegas instead.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. You're correct. I don't. Why didn't the Raiders go back to L.A.?
That's the right. I don't. That's the
because
team.
Because the Chargers. Now,
well, no, but no. When they refresh my memory, when they made that announcement, I guess it was a year ago at the owners meeting. Didn't the Chargers, wasn't the deal that the Chargers had first right of refusal of moving to Los Angeles?
Right, and that's the Chargers said, yeah, we're gonna take a year and see if we can figure something out.
Right. And
then if it doesn't, you know, they'll jump.
I guess they were waiting for that vote. And then once
at least for Chargers fans, I mean, it's only an hour and a half up north, so it's not like they're moving to another state. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
But they'll still get the games, I'm sure. But I like Las Vegas having a team, whether it's two
or three. So do I.
And the Raiders kind of fit Vegas, I think, more than the Chargers do. It's just general reputation.
Well, if I was going to a Saints-Raiders game, I'm not sure as hell not going to Oakland, but I'd go to Las Vegas.
Right.
And I don't
but
know.
But it's, I mean, you know, that's going to be three teams leaving their markets in a matter of 2 years.
That's, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. No one,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe it's the traditionalist in me. I'm so used to having the Chargers in San Diego. It just.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
You know, it kind of feels wrong. Now, yeah, I get
it.
Like,
that's not where they originated.
Well, right, but they've been there for 50-something years. That's where I know them.
Right. I mean, they originated in L.A., and I think they were in L.A. for 1 year. And remember, they were in L.A. for 1 year when the AFL started, okay, the American Football League, which is now the AFC. We all know the history of it. I'm not going to go over it. And back then, it was kind of like arena football. They were in L.A. for a year. You know, remember how arena football, a team will move and,
yeah.
You know. That's, you know, and so they were in L.A. for a year and competing against the Rams.
They were the L.A. Thundercats.
And then,
quarterback,
you know,
Lion-O. Running
and
back,
then they,
Pantera.
You know, then they moved to, I mean, San Diego, and that's their true home. So, yeah, I hate, you know, I wonder how fans, I mean, that has to be devastating, huh?
Well, how would you feel if the Saints left?
Well, look,
right.
And
would you still root for them if they left?
No, not even.
You would just not root for anybody? You would just?
Sure. I mean, look, I think I've
Houston's
been before,
looking mighty fine.
I am a New Orleans Saints fan. And those two words in front of Saints, that's what I'm a fan of. I'm a New Orleans fan. I'm not a Saints fan. I'm a New Orleans fan.
But if they left and no team came in their place.
Well, I would still enjoy football. Obviously, I would not watch the Saints. I wouldn't give a shit about them.
Actually, if they, actively, you know, root against them.
I would, exactly.
They would sit
exactly.
Right above Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's still
around. Yeah, you're right. Look, and in 2005, that was a distinct possibility. I mean, I don't know how y'all felt, but
well,
in December of 2005, I was 90%. I was 80% sure that we would lose our football team.
I just thought there was no way that the NFL would allow, and which ended up being what happened. They wouldn't allow the team to leave.
But it was probably the most real threat in my lifetime that I've been aware of. I mean, it kind of feels like the Saints. Every time the contract is up for negotiation, that's the. Whatever.
Well, that's the way it is with every NFL team.
Yeah,
look, when our lease is up in 2025,
right.
You know, what if
it's going to
be
whoever
the owner is going to be, Benson's going to be dead. What if they want a new stadium?
But to Damon's point, when you said in 2005, I remember in my mindset was if they went to San Antonio, I would still cheer for the Saints, the San Antonio Saints. Like, I would just follow the San Antonio Saints, at least until a new team ever got to New Orleans, and then of course you go with New Orleans. But I would stay with the franchise because it's the franchise, you know. Not that wouldn't say that a team like a closer proximity like a Houston wouldn't be able to But overtake them in my to become my favorite team. But that first year, second year, I mean, until you got to date a few teams, see who you like. You know,
but if the Saints left again, I'm a regional guy. You know,
LSU.
I mean that's what it would have been for me. I would have just been a bigger college fan. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I had to go. But the Saints, that love that we feel for the Saints, if they went to San Antonio, or you wouldn't have that anymore.
It would fade. It wouldn't be like it is now. It would be different.
And I definitely wouldn't pull for them, because at the time, you know, I would have.
You'd still be angry at ownership.
Right. Exactly.
You wouldn't want them to have any success.
Exactly.
But it depends on how they left. I mean, if they just up and left with no.
Well, how else are they going to. They're all going to leave the same way.
No, if they said. If they gave the state and the taxpayers a chance to keep them there, and the taxpayers and the whole city and the government said no, the city and the state said no, then they're not. They're in a sense, being pushed out.
Right. So, okay. So I get you right. So in San Diego. I think you are correct. Jason, you just went to that stadium. You said it's kind of shitty.
Oh, it was definitely a dump. And they did a new stadium, but I still think there was a way. There was a way to make it work that wasn't quite as burdensome, like in terms of the taxpayers. Like, yeah, you maybe still have the taxpayers pay some of it. I think there was a way to work to keep them there, but I think this owner just really wanted to be in Los Angeles. So I think he put on the guise of really trying to make it work.
Sure.
Right.
I think all along his intentions was to go to L.A.
And look, I think in New Orleans, okay, you take the Saints, you take the Superdome.
You take the Superdome, good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you have the facts of life.
But you look out, you look at the Superdome as a state-built facility, and it has turned out to be great for the city. And the state, the national championship, Super Bowls we hosted, and the home of the Saints.
But
and,
not
and
all 32
and everything else.
Markets are going to be able to do that, right?
Correct. You're 100% correct. For us, the Superdome turned out spectacular. You're right. For San Diego,
actually, there's no reason why a city like San Diego couldn't pull that kind of pussy.
Well, they already did. They did it for a baseball stadium, and you know the owners promise, you're going to have this kind of economic impact on all the games, and when the studies come back,
because a baseball stadium is not the same as a dome,
but
an
at least for a baseball stadium, there's 80 games, not just 8 for the NFL.
Right. I get that, but you're not going to get a college championship game, football game. You're not going to get a Super Bowl. You're not going to get a
a lot of these NFL stadiums, other than Jerry World, they don't get all the extra stuff to cut other than the NFL.
I mean,
you may get a bowl game. You're not getting the championship game.
Where is Raw? Raw's in the Superdome, or it's in the arena?
Raw's in the arena. The WrestleMania arena is going to be in the Superdome.
Okay.
Right. Quick side note
we covered.
They are coming back.
Yep.
Okay. I thought I heard rumors in the NFL, but back in San Diego. You say, the San Diego, they couldn't pull Super Bowl. But I say a brand new stadium in San Diego could definitely pull Super Bowl.
Sure, it could.
That was the rotation.
Yes.
Miami, New Orleans, California.
Right. My point was that you're not going to get a Super Bowl with a baseball stadium. You know what I mean?
They
didn't want to build a new football stadium because they feel like they got burned on a baseball deal. It's apples and oranges.
No. I mean, the taxpayers are forced to pay for it. I don't think it's going to be. I mean, yeah, you'll keep your NFL team, but there's less events in that stadium. It's just going to sit there. And you're going to have the tax, you're going to pay $500 million for it, and the stadium's just going to sit there.
Yeah, but your price per event, it might be less events, but what's the total annual revenue?
Not that. And besides, not that.
Like I said, the Superdome is so different. You know, the Superdome, even without the Saints, don't pay rent. The Saints don't do anything. And even without the Saints, the Superdome is in the black. Okay? Because of the events and everything it hosts.
Well, right. They do seem like there's events in the Superdome all the time.
Right.
It's a convention center.
Because it's a dome. You can put home and garden shows and boat shows.
San Diego should do a retractable roof and have home and garden shows. Too late.
Why would you build a retractable roof in San Diego?
So that they can use it for a convention center.
No, you're missing the whole reason why we could do this here is because we just have artificial turf. All these stadiums have real grass. You're not putting that shit on real grass. Because a multi-purpose building and floor, you can put multiple things on the floor because it's just concrete. You don't see boats at all these out, you know, grass stadiums. You don't see all this crap. You might have a concert, but that's about it.
Well, we're just better. I don't know why Drew Brees wants to live in San Diego then.
I guess. Well,
it definitely works here. Our building, you know, I can understand. I don't know. And again, even with the dome, we talked about it when we went to Kansas City. We talked about it together. Kansas City, the Royal Stadium and Arrowhead, they are outside the city limits by themselves. Once you get there, you're there. You're not going anywhere. With the Superdome and its location, the economic impact for the city is huge. Because people go before the game. There's all, you know, the small businesses definitely benefit from during game day in New Orleans. Or in Kansas City, maybe not so much.
I'll tell you what, it was nice that I got to go to the San Diego game this year. Right, at least I got to see that stadium and see the Chargers play in San Diego one last time.
Okay.
First and last time.
So then that's going to take us into...
And LA's move. I mean, San Diego's moving next year. That's it. They're in that 30.
They're going to go to that 30,000-seat soccer stadium until that.
Isn't that crazy?
But they're leaving. They're not coming back. That's it.
That's it.
They probably still won't sell out. Okay, so that's going to take us into pick-ups. It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the control and how you take it. It's all about the debt and how you pay it. It's all about the pain and how you make it.
All right. Quite the situation we got going here between the three of us. So I went 4-0. You guys each went 3-1. So we're all sitting here with the same record.
Wow. And there's only three games left.
Three games left. Yep.
Wow.
Anybody's ball game.
So here we have, I'm going to read everybody's name at this point, because I think, except for the very bottom few. I'm not, because 20 game difference, like Triple D, Stud Farm, you guys are number one, but you've only played a total of 66 games, whereas Nears played 86 games.
I mean, look, he still played more than half of the games that we've done, so they should, all you said is we had to do more than half. I know it's not quite the same, and I mean, Nier definitely gets credit for having that record with more games picked, but the criteria is just you have to play more than, 50 or 60% of the games, whatever it is.
Okay. So here's the order. So we got Triple D, Nier, Doug, Life of Ty, Whore Islander, Saints Fan UK, Preston Allen, Jason, Jeff, Damon, but actually it should be Jeff, Jason, Damon.
Oh, okay.
Neil, Dad to Twins, Jimbo Rance, Wheels, Hootat Nutsack, Glenn Fitz, last year's champion, Emmanuel, Zano, Hungry Hootat, Alex Barbie, Ed Hunt. And then the last three that have not played more than half the games, EJ, Fuck the Falcons, and A-Rod.
All right, here we go. Conference title weekend. Only three more meaningful football games left this season. Crazy to think the season's almost over already. And we'll have a long off season, and we'll get excited about the Saints and all that other nonsense. All right, we'll start off in the circus tent, the last game at the Georgia Dome, the Packers at the Falcons. We talked about these games earlier. We're all desperately awaiting to see a Falcons choke job. You figured, I mean, they got in the last game in that stadium has to be an epic choke job by the Falcons. It just has to be. The history of the building says so.
They will shit their pants.
Fate says that. So the Falcons are favored by 4.5. Julio Jones played the first half this past week, but then he was dealing with a toe injury. I think he made one catch early in the third quarter and then didn't play the rest of the game. But Atlanta says they're going to limit him at practice, but he is going to be ready to go. Jordy Nelson probably still out. He had fractured ribs. I can't imagine He only misses one game and comes back to play. There was a, I thought there was a defender, maybe a cornerback for Green Bay also got hurt this past game. But look, Rodgers is on fire. The Packers have won, what, 8 in a row now, I think. So, yeah, Atlanta favored by 4.5.
Well, this is an easy one.
I mean, yeah, I think we're all going to pick the same.
We're all taking Green Bay.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Well, especially if we really do feel like Green Bay is going to win the game. Even if you don't think Green Bay is going to win the game, they're going to make a game of it to where it's going to come down to a field goal or so.
Right. What did you say, 4.5?
4.5, yeah. 4.5.
Right. That's, I mean, so 5 points? No. I'm taking Green Bay and getting the 5.
All right, next game. Over to the AFC. Steelers at the Patriots. Steelers also on an incredible winning streak. I think either 7 or 8 games in a row.
And the Steelers had a rough start to the season, like Green Bay.
Well, because Le'Veon Bell was suspended the first 3 games.
That would do it.
You know, because they've been giving him the ball.
I forgot about that.
And really, for the past few weeks, kind of everybody's been saying that, well, it seems like Pittsburgh is the only team in the AFC that stands a chance to beat the Pats. And here we are. Pittsburgh going to New England. This is going to be the late game on Sunday. Pats favored by 5.5.
Ooh.
Oh, that's tough.
Not quite the 16 from last week.
Question is, how much do you believe in that whole Pittsburgh may be the only team that could beat New England?
I believe a lot in it. I am going Pittsburgh.
Hmm. Wow. You because of the points, or you think Pittsburgh going to win?
I think Pittsburgh can win.
Is there any injuries to note on New England's team?
Not that I know of. And I mean, clearly, Gronk's not playing, but he hasn't played in weeks. But Edelman's healthy. Their running backs are all healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an incredible point spread against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But New England at home is pretty damn good.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is a pressure pick here. I'm going to take Pittsburgh to cover.
Who?
And I'm not confident about that.
I'm going to take the Pats.
All right.
Put myself in a
position.
Either position to where I cannot finish anything but first, or can maybe catch up.
That's
but
true.
Obviously, look, I mean, this,
next
you
week,
know,
yeah, we're the same
right,
on Green Bay.
Right. We only have one game left.
You know what? I'm going to do the same. I'm going to take Atlanta.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh!
Whoa!
Well, look at that.
I'm going, you know what? I'm selling my soul. I'm going for the Pick'em Trophy.
Wow.
Wow. I'm going all in.
Jason, you want to switch our picks to Atlanta?
I'm not doing that. Nope. No chance can I pick Atlanta here. None. I felt dirty enough picking them last week against Seattle.
Yeah, but it helped you put you in the spot that it
did. Well, it did because I knew there was no chance Seattle was winning. And now you know, like, just Atlanta cannot win this week. They just can't.
Well,
Green Bay has to do whatever it takes to beat them.
I hope I lose pick'ems, but if Atlanta does win, at least I'll win pick'ems.
Well, you'll have an advantage. Right. It just means.
Well,
right. I'm really playing spoiler because it means no one person's going to get a leg up this week.
Well, right. Sure. If Green Bay and Pittsburgh win, then I'll have a game up lead on both of y'all.
Oh yeah.
Right. Or
if Atlanta and Pittsburgh wins, I'll have the leg up. And if Green Bay New England wins,
Damon will have the leg up.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is a good way to go into it.
If who wins with Pittsburgh? No, if the Patriots,
your pick. Green Bay,
right. So right,
or actually, how about this? If the Patriots and the Falcons win, then Damon's still good. Actually, Damon would have a 2-game lead over me, which means I'd be eliminated, and he'd have a 1-game lead over Jeff.
No.
I don't have a one. If the Falcons and the Patriots win, because Jeff has the Falcons,
right.
You have the Patriots, but I got Green Bay and Pittsburgh. I'd be shut out.
You'd be shut out, right?
Yeah, I'd be shut out.
There's a chance for
Every scenario works here. Jeff and I could both, we could tie and have and throw you right and
yeah,
throw
me out. Yep.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Final thoughts, Jason.
Kind
of snuck up on you, huh?
Well, yeah.
You used it at game recap. I mean, that Saints preview.
I don't know. Mardi Gras season's here, so start eating king cake, people.
Actually, they have a place up in Alexandria here that imports Gambinos, and I got a pecan praline cream praline cream cheese king cake just this week from Gambinos up here in Cowboy Country.
Gambinos, that's what I need to do.
That's the best. That's my favorite. We'll talk about that another week, about king cake wars. Damon, final thoughts.
He's too busy thinking about king cake.
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. Hold on. You kind of jumped up on me on final thoughts. Let me see.
He has to clean his pants after you talked about king cake.
Yeah, right? He got a little icing on his pants.
Let's see.
He's banging the seats.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any final thoughts. I don't have anything good.
Well, that's okay. It's okay.
I don't have to have it.
Save it for next week. That'll be all the show we have for you this week. And we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, cowboy donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.